Star Walker Studios presents Star Citizens United, a podcast dedicated to making the most of the future hit PC video game, Star Citizen. Greetings, citizen, and welcome to the Star Citizens United podcast. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. This week, I'll be discussing one of Star Citizen's premier weapons manufacturers, Hurston Dynamics, as well as a starship manufacturer very close to my heart, Origin Jumpworks. Hello, listener. Welcome back to the show. Welcome to episode 15 of Star Citizens United. So glad you joined me today. I'm very excited to bring you another lore episode today. So as I've done in the last couple episodes, I am going to be using one of the Galactic Guides on the Robert Space Industries website. But before I get into that, real quick, I have a small request to make of you. If you enjoy Star Citizens United, please head on over to iTunes and give us a review. I'd really appreciate it. It will help new people find the show. And I will have a link directly to the show on iTunes in the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com. So this episode, I am going to be looking at the Galactic Guide on Hurston Dynamics, and I will, of course, have a link directly to this article in the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com. Now, if you remember, last week I talked about the Stanton system, and Hurston Dynamics was the name of one of the planets in that system. I think it's just called Hurston. But each of those four planets is owned by a mega corporation, and Hurston Dynamics is one of those corporations. So I think it's very appropriate that we talk about them today. Now, like a lot or all of the Galactic Guide articles, this material actually came from a previous issue of Jump Point, which again is the digital magazine that you receive by becoming a subscriber of the Star Citizen game. So if you are wanting to and able to offer even more support to the game on a monthly basis, you can become a subscriber. And I guess at this point, I should mention that if you're able to and wanting to support this podcast in your ear holes right now on a monthly basis, you can become a subscriber to our Patreon page for Star Citizens United, and you can find a link to that in the show notes. Always appreciate new patrons, all patrons, not just new patrons. So first, we'll start out with a little bit of history on Hurston Dynamics. Hurston Dynamics is the United Empire of Earth's premier producer and distributor of both quantum cascade lasers and a wide variety of electron guns. They are also the single largest outsourced producer of standard munitions warheads for military contracts and the third largest refiner of antimatter precursor in today's economy. Though few finished products bear the Hurston name, their raw materials and manufactured components are found in nearly every piece of space technology in flight today. Copies of Hurston dies are used in manufacturing facilities across the galaxy, with illegal copies even crossing the border for use in Xion production hubs. The Hurston family has been helping humans make war on one another for generations. They can readily trace the name back 500 years to the development of the first power lasers for space defense platforms. More fanciful family histories connect the present-day Hurstons to Earth's dark ages, crediting the family with everything from broad axes and crossbows to fixed-wing aircraft and atomic weapons. The current patriarch, Colonel Gavin E. Stanton, adopts this backstory wholeheartedly, decorating his office with millennia of killing tools and infusing the company's advertising and corporate culture with medieval weaponry wherever possible. Whatever the true history, the old adage has proven correct with the current generation: war is good for business. Hurston Dynamics is one of the rare megacorporations which can properly boast that it owns its own planet. Having secured Stanton 2 from the UEE government and a money and stock deal worth an estimated 50 trillion credits. Prior to the acquisition of Stanton 2, Hurston was based on Earth, with mining assets and weapons testing ranges scattered throughout the galaxy. In the last 50 years, these have been significantly consolidated to the facilities on Stanton, making it the place to go for Hurston technology. A glitzy showroom and an uncomfortably formal pilot's bar, Violas, belie the overall situation on the planet. Unlike the other inhabitants of the Stanton office park, Hurston has consciously run the planet into the ground. Every inch of the world not assigned to corporate facilities is being mined for antimatter precursors or blasted apart in research and development tests. Soot and smog pollute the atmosphere to the point that inhabitants must be issued breathers when conducting work outside their habicubes. The worker satisfaction rating on Hurston is an astonishing 0.5 out of 10, and very few miners last more than a single conscription tour. The corporation is always seeking to import low-skilled workers, and rumors persist that there is a market for human slaves on their planet. Whatever the truth, privateers will find that Hurston pays well to those who provide them with involuntary labor and is an excellent source of low-cost munitions and metals. As a result of their disregard for Stanton 2's ecology, Hurston frequently finds itself the prime target of environmentalist groups, including the Citizens Clean World Alliance and the Wildlife Conservation Project. The Colonel does nothing to hide his disgust for such movements, frequently boasting about the number of indigenous species his company has exterminated. In addition to this, mounted Asoyan heads and flat cat sensor nubs decorate his sitting room. This, of course, incites further hatred from organizations unlikely to be purchasing radioactive munitions in the first place. In response, more militant environmental groups have even been known to target Hurston space convoys. Illegal bounties on Hurston corporate spacecraft are plentiful, though the corporation pays better for the requisite escort pilot muscle. All right, so now that we've talked a little bit about the history of Hurston Dynamics and kind of the culture of this company, they sound like real winners, right? Let's talk a little bit about their weapon systems. Though their weapons technology is found throughout the Empire and beyond, Hurston currently manufactures only two lines of branded ship weapons, quantum cascade lasers and electron guns. Both lines are available in multiple sizes, configurations, and purposes. Weapon sizes range from tiny needle cannons to the massive capital batteries found on UEE warships. Hurston's extensive tool and die experience allows for both weapon types to be sold in both Gatling repeater and strict cannon configuration. Variants of the guns at various grades are designed for different markets. Cheap for export, standard to quality for licensed civilian use, and excellent for the UEE military. Hurston's Spectrum line of external cavity quantum cascade lasers has been used effectively by a variety of operators for nearly a century. Quantum cascade lasers fire electromagnetic bolts that convert any material contacted into plasma, giving it a reasonable bite that is useful in most space combat encounters. A Hurston Dynamics Spectrum 7 QCL is recommended by the Bounty Hunters Guild as the gold standard for starter laser cannons, while the Spectrum 9 Gatling variant has been adopted by the UEE for their destroyer-based CIWS systems currently undergoing space trials. While many corporations produce cheaper quantum cascade lasers, mostly based on Hurston's technologies, the Hurston name continues to convey a strong cachet. The less celebrated Magnitude line of electron guns is generally considered a specialist weapon. Standard UEE units do not use magnitudes, although they are mounted on particular special operations and advocacy spacecraft variants. The guns strip electrons from hydrogen atoms and then accelerate them at high speeds suspended in a magnetic bolt focused through a multi-stage Einzel lens. A pilot trained in the use of his particular model of electron gun will find it an incredibly precise and powerful weapon. A newbie activating such a gun for the first time will find it largely useless. Extensive weapons labs have been established on Stanton 2, and rumors of a third line of guns continue unabated. These rumors gained serious traction last year when the corporation put out a record-high 10 million credit bounty believed to be for a mercenary who stole a test artifact from the corporation. It is unknown whether or not the bounty was claimed or if the artifact was recovered. Observers do consider it highly unusual that Hurston produces conventional and antimatter warheads without their own delivery system. Many believe it only a matter of time until the company premieres an entirely new antimatter-derived slug thrower gun type. When or if it happens, it is likely to throw the balance of power among civilian pilots wide open and potentially impact the course of the war against the Vonduul. All right, so that is what we've got on Hurston Dynamics. Some very interesting things there. Definitely don't sound like someone you want to mess with. Next, I'm going to talk about Origin Jump Works. As I said at the top of the show, a ship manufacturer that's very close to my heart, as my own personal ship in Star Citizen right now is the Origin 325A. Yes, I only have one ship. I am not one of those people that can afford to have a full fleet already. If you'd like to donate me a ship, you can reach me at scupodcast@gmail.com. So this is from the Galactic Guide on Origin from the website. And again, I will have this linked in the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com. And this is headed Origin Jump Works GmbH, which again, I learned from a listener that is the German equivalent of LLC. So I now know what that means because, yeah, I was very confused by that when I first saw that. If it is possible for a company to merge class and sophistication with the sheer risk of spaceflight and the cold-blooded nature of interstellar dogfighting, Origin Jump Works comes the closest. The company's extensive array of high-end spacecraft is known for their sleek and sophisticated lines, which is why I got one. Similarly, they have cultivated an exclusive customer base from the rich and the powerful. As Origin's perfectly manicured salesmen eagerly point out, selecting an Origin design doesn't just mean buying a ship, it means choosing a lifestyle. Origin was incorporated during the so-called glowing age, the financial boom of the mid-28th century that followed the antimatter rush. For their first decade, the company produced high-quality fusion engines used by the UEE military and mounted on the ostentatious Robert Space Industries and Aegis Dynamics star yachts available to the public, well, at least the well-heeled public, at the time. With the need for personal spacecraft growing exponentially, Origin moved to compete with the companies they initially supplied. Within 10 years, the company was producing a top 5 selling mid-scale composite transport, and within 50, their well-paying customer base was neck and neck with RSI for gross profits in the manufactured spacecraft field. Origin premiered their initial 200 and 300 lines of personal ships in 2899 and has held a strong second in that market ever since. Founded on the banks of the Rhine in Cologne, Germany, Origin had strong ties to Earth for the first 2 centuries of their existence, originally going so far as to insist that every component for their Elite 600 line be manufactured in Seoul. In recent years, these ties have been severed completely. Declaring Tara the new cultural capital of the UEE, President Jennifer Friskers made the then unpopular decision to relocate to Tara. In a largely unexpected executive order, she moved corporate headquarters and the primary design team to the settlement of New Austin in 2913. Since that time, manufacturing has become nearly completely outsourced, with only an engine testing facility remaining on Earth's moon. Government scrutiny of the company since the move has also flourished, with tax issues quadrupling following this decision to leave Earth. New Austin has become an origin town, with the company holding fast as the key employer. The system has become a mecca for origin enthusiasts, with wealthy buyers traveling across the galaxy to purchase their ships straight from the factory floor. A stunning company showcase in the center of the city highlights M50s, 300s, and 890 jumps in a series of life-size action dioramas costing millions to set up and display. And Origin has sponsored naming rights for local stadiums, high schools, and streets. Tourists leaving New Austin without a 300 series shot glass or keychain is nearly unheard of. Man, I want a 300 series shot glass. Sign me up. The 300 series, woohoo! The current workhorse of the company's lineup, if any Origin craft can be so described, I think not, is the Origin 300 series, a luxury class dogfighter. It is to the credit of the company that such a description is not inherently a contradiction in terms. The bare silver metal and the smooth aerodynamic lines of the 300i-based design perfectly evoke both a flowing work of technical art and mankind's most perfect killing machine. Every element of the 300 series feels designed, from the recessed missile mounts to the flowing metal gun attachments. And of course, it was. Thousands of hours went into the development of every individual element of their spacecraft. The company is known to pay millions in bonuses to employees who can figure out how to remove a single bolt attachment from their designs. Origin currently manufactures three standard 300 series models, plus a variety of specialized limited run variants. The base 300i luxury touring model has remained largely unchanged since the ship's inception, other than incorporating improved technology and control surfaces. Though the sales copy advertises that the advanced models fit any lifestyle, observers can easily ascribe specific tasks to them. The 315P, featuring long-range options and improved scanners, is the exploration model, and the 325A, with heavier weapons and armor, is built for combat. The 300 lineup changes on a nearly yearly basis, with other roles including interdiction, outranging, stealth, and blockade running having appeared in the past. The only standard is the customer. Origin makes a clear point not to associate their craft with piracy. The company spends billions on anti-piracy efforts and has been known to refuse sale to known pirates attempting to purchase their craft in person or on Terra. Erstwhile rogues should not fear, though, as the secondary market for 300 series spacecraft is robust. Nevertheless, the effort has largely paid off. The 300 is known as a law-abiding bounty hunter ship at its roughest, and never a smuggler or an aggressor. I might have to change that. The notable fourth 300 series model, not produced in large quantity but arguably the best known beyond the base, is the 350R, the so-called light speeder. The 350R is the dedicated racer model of the line, used as a base by professional racing teams around the galaxy. 350Rs have a storied history, with more Carrington wins than any other spacecraft. From multi-system endurance races to cross-star speed runs, the twin-engined 350R is a common sight along the racing lines. It is also rumored that the UEE military's elite Black Watch divisions make use of a squadron of 350Rs for covert operations requiring extreme speed. Reports of stealth gray racer class ships without broadcast transponders operating along the Vondul border cannot be independently substantiated. Next, of course, we have the M50, probably the next ship I'm going to try to acquire. Soon to give the 350R a close second in the acclaimed racer category is the Origin M50, often referred to as a power plant with a cockpit attached. Now that's my kind of ship. Only I'd have a power plant with a cockpit and a shit ton of weapons attached. But anyway, M50s, which will roll off the production line for the first time this year, represent another leap forward in engine technology and are predicted to give the 350R a run for its money. Despite well, if not overly, publicized teething difficulties in the prototype and Y-series test ships, the current M50 lineup is a solid spacecraft design that promises unequaled speed. Whether the ship will find buyers among Origin's business-oriented clientele remains to be seen. The company is doing their best to promote the M50 as a second ship to 300 owners, hey, that's me, and the sporty coupe in which you speed around the galaxy on weekends. Well, I'd say their marketing's working because I just said that I want to get one of these as my second ship. So there we go. There's a little bit of information on Origin JumpWorks. I am really looking forward to seeing more Origin ships in the game in the future. So there we go. We've got a little bit about Hurston Dynamics and a little bit about Origin JumpWorks this episode. Again, I will have these galactic guides linked in the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com if you want to check them out. Very, very exciting stuff. I'm really digging these galactic guides. They're a bit more user-friendly and a bit more entertaining than the lore builder stuff I was doing last season. So I'm having a lot of fun with these. We got quite a bit more on deck that I can talk about in the future. Now, if you're following along, you might have noticed that I skipped the galactic guide on Terra, and that's just because it's a little bit longer and I didn't think I could get that in with Hurston Dynamics this week. So I will be talking about the Terra system next week. Well, that is going to wrap up episode 15 of Star Citizens United. Thanks so much for strapping in and flying along with me. If you would like to reach me, you can email me at scupodcast@gmail.com. Please go find me on Google Plus. Just search for Lex Starwalker and follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker. Please visit the website starwalkerstudios.com where you can find the show notes for this and all episodes of Star Citizens United. And you can also find my other podcast there. And if you're a fan of science fiction, which I'm sure you are, keep an eye on Starwalker Studios because there may be another science fiction themed podcast in the near future, but no spoilers. And again, if you enjoy the show and you'd like to help me out and help me get the show out to more listeners, please head on over to iTunes and give me a review. I would really appreciate it. And if you give me a 5-star review, I will thank you personally on the show. And again, I have a link directly to the page on iTunes, so you don't even have to go look for it. Just head to starwalkerstudios.com/StarCitizensUnited and click the link in the show notes. So once again, I want to thank you so much for flying with me and enjoying another episode of Star Citizens United. I will be back next week to talk about the Terra system. I'll see you out there. This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts. Please see all that Starwalker Studios has to offer at starwalkerstudios.com.